Welcome to Focus on the Upstate, a program dedicated to informing you about organizations that serve our community and how you can get involved with them. Here's your host, Chris Evans.
Good morning and welcome to Focus on the Upstate, a pre-recorded production of Entercom Communications. This is episode 31 of the COVID Chronicles, and we have a couple of guests this morning. Elliot Summey, the CEO of Charleston International Airport. Good morning, Elliot.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you very much for being here. We also have Tom Tyre, the Director of Communications and Air Service Development at GSP, Greenville Spartanburg Airport. Good morning, Tom.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much both for being here. And I should give a quick shout out to our mutual acquaintance, James Stevens, who is not with us today, but he is the Executive Director of the South Carolina Aeronautics Commission and was the one who originally conceived and put together this this conversation, and I appreciate him for doing that. And I've talked with him on a few other occasions on this program, no less. And he does a fine job for airports around South Carolina in terms of publicizing them and make sure that, that people are aware of them. I'm going to start with the question that I normally ask, and Tom, we'll go to you first. What do you do at GSP International Airport, and who do you do it for?
Well, I'm the Director of Communications and Air Service Development, so that is your any type of outreach to the public, to the community, to the media, and also to the airlines trying to get new flights and new destinations for upstate South Carolina businesses and leisure travelers. And so I do it for the Greenville-Spartanburg Airport Commission, which is the group that that oversees all the operations of our 3,700 acres up in the upstate part of South Carolina.
3,700 acres. I was not aware that the facility out there was that large.
Yeah, well, we have we're pretty diversified. We, of course, have the passenger facility, which a lot of people are familiar with, but we have a cargo operation. We also do a lot of land development. So all along I-85, we have a lot of land that was built back in the early 60s when the airport was first built. And so there was a lot of visioning when that airport was first conceived to make sure that we had plenty of room to grow as the state and the region continues to grow.
Elliot, I'm going to ask you the same question. I'm sure that the listeners here in the upstate are eminently familiar with GSP and its influence on the area. They may be less aware of the Charleston International Airport. In fact, some of us may even not be aware that Charleston has an international airport. So tell us what you guys do down there and who you do it for.
Yes, sir. So I am the executive director of the Charleston County Aviation Authority and CEO of the Charleston International Airport. And I say that to say that we have three airports here at the Aviation Authority in Charleston County, CHS, Charleston International being the mothership, if you will. And then we've got the JZI, which is Charleston Executive out in Johns Island near Kiowa, and LRO, which is the Mount Pleasant Regional Airport out in East Cooper area near in Mount Pleasant near the Isle of Palms. And so we manage and operate all three of those airports. We have several FBOs, but we also have the international airport. I am jealous of all the land GSP has. I wish we had more land.
Well, I imagine it's difficult down on the coast.
It is. It is. You know, where international airport is, you know, we're in the heart of North Charleston, which is the retail capital of South Carolina, the home of Boeing and Mercedes. And so we are constrained to some degree. We share runways with Joint Base Charleston, and which is a wonderful partnership that we have. But it's certainly between I-26, the interstates, and all of the growth that has happened in the greater Charleston area, we are very constrained from a land perspective. So we are not quite in the economic development game that GSP is in, even though we desire to be. We certainly, you know, our hats off to those folks. They really have done a good job supporting their industry partners in the Greenville-Spartanburg area. And it is something that we desire to really do here at CHS. But I work for our board, which is a board that is partially appointed by the Charleston County delegation, and confirmed by the governor's office, and then all three mayors, Charleston, North Charleston, and Mount Pleasant, serve on that board, as well as the chairman of county council, which I have sat on the board for several years. I am soon to be not the chairman of county council anymore. I did not run for re-election. I'm just rotating off after 12 years of being elected to Charleston County Council, four of which is its chairman. I've been involved in economic development, and we, you know, I tell our folks all the time, look at what they're doing up there in Greensburg. That's how we need to be doing it. They've seemed to have led that sector, especially going all the way back to the Carol Campbell days. So,
well, it sounds like they're setting the example, really, I guess.
Yeah, they're doing a great job up there. But, you know, we've got a very robust airport pre-COVID, doing 5 million passengers a year at Charleston International. We had our first true international flight start last May to London, direct flights twice a week from Charleston to London. We just announced that we were going to have our first West Coast to California direct flights. We were already going to Seattle several times a week because of the Boeing connection with Alaska Airlines, but now we'll be going with JetBlue direct LAX daily starting December 18th, which will be a game changer for us. And we hope to increase that West Coast flight, more West Coast flights from Charleston after, you know, post-COVID. Certainly that LAX flight's important to the port. A lot of the customers that Jim Newsom and his fine folks at the State Ports Authority call on are Asian companies, and LAX is the gateway to Asia for United States. So having that direct flight from Charleston to LAX is a game changer for the State Port Authority. I know the health of the port is important to the upstate as well. Certainly BMW, Michelin, and others use the Port of Charleston, so we're all one big happy family here in South Carolina, providing the infrastructure we need, whether it's in the upstate or down here in the low country.
Well, and that's one of the questions that I had, is how everybody gets along. I did want to Tom touched on this just a second ago, and I want to ask both of you about it. I'm sure the average listener is familiar with your airports as a place to go to get on a commercial flight if they need to travel somewhere. And some of them may even be aware that you guys have a fair amount of cargo planes that come and go from your various airports. What are some of the other things that happen at your airports that people may not be aware of? Elliot, let's start with you.
So certainly our FBOs are a big deal for us. So we have Signature and Atlantic at Charleston International. So, you know, folks who are flying in privately can also clear customs at Charleston International. But out at John's Island at JZI, Charleston Executive, you know, that is a very busy FBO. It services Kiowa. And, you know, most of the folks that have their second homes out there are coming in to play golf or what have you, or flying in private. And so we have to do a good job. We are really ramping up Johns Island Airport from a security standpoint right now. You know this, but Kiowa on the Ocean Course is home to the 2021 PGA Championship on May 17th. And if things go the way we hope they go, and the vaccine for COVID is out robustly like it should be, we hope that that's going to be the first major sporting event attended by actual live human beings in the United States.
Wow.
So we think all eyes will be on Kiowa, and that therefore all eyes will be on Johns Island Airport. Most of your major executives, CEOs, and golfers will be flying into Johns Island Airport. We are in a partnership with PGA of America from a logistics standpoint to kind of be the hub for all of their things coming in, all of their packages coming in, and from a logistics standpoint. So we're running point with SLED, with Chief Keel, with Charleston County Sheriff's Office, with Homeland Security, TSA, and many, many, many other law enforcement agencies and public safety agencies to make sure that the PGA Championship goes off without a hitch. And obviously we'll see a huge uptick in traffic. All the tickets for the PGA Championship are already sold out. They expect over 100,000 visitors during that four-day weekend. And so we're very much a part of the planning and logistics and safety for the PGA, for the Low Country, and for South Carolina.
I'm glad to hear it. Good luck to you. I hope that goes well for you. Tom, what about GSP? What are the things that go on over there that aren't necessarily front and center?
Well, like I said, and you did talk about, you know, passenger traffic gets kind of all of the attention, or most of it, but we are a major player in the freight business. In fact, it's we've got the only international cargo service in either of the Carolinas, supporting some of our advanced manufacturing companies up here like BMW and Siemens and GE and some others, where we have flights going 4 or 5 times a week into Germany. We've had them go into Mexico, near Mexico City. We've even for a while had some service going to South Africa from GSP. So there's also land. As I mentioned, we have a lot of acreage here, but we also have our own industrial park. And it just happens to be adjacent to the inland port at Greer, which is a direct train connection down to Charleston to go to the deep water port. So we get a lot of activity in and out of there. And so we actually have a number of our advanced manufacturing logistics companies located right next to the train inland port, which is next to the airport, next to the I-85, the main highway between Atlanta and Charlotte. And all of those come together to kind of create this perfect storm of logistics. And so we're right in the middle of that. And that's a big piece of what we do out here that may not get as much attention, but certainly is a big driver for what's going on for the upstate region.
Let's talk about the coronavirus pandemic. This is the COVID Chronicles, after all. There are no shortage of national stories about how the airline industry was affected by the pandemic. Tom, what are some of the local stories of the pandemic's impact on GSP?
Well, yeah, this has been a story that's really impacted aviation, really, and
worldwide,
will be a long
frankly,
time before
globally.
We see something again. Yeah, it's at every level. You know, I've been in the business for coming up on 27 years now, so I've seen SARS and I've seen 9/11 and I've seen oil crises and mergers and acquisitions and things, and nothing is quite as pervasive as the pandemic that we're battling right now. We had in April, our passenger traffic dropped to about 4% of what we did the previous year, so a 96% drop in passenger activity. Since then, it has come up to we're about 40% of where we were last year. We
so coming
hope by
back
the
gradually.
End of the year,
gradually.
Yeah, coming back gradually, and we're hoping by the end of the year that we'll be at about 50% of where we were at the same period last year. So not 50% in the total annual volume, just 50% month over month. So it is a very gradual return. We hope that some of the spikes in the numbers that we're hearing here recently start to subside. And as the vaccine, perhaps we have two, perhaps we have more coming, will kick in. And hopefully by the first quarter or at least summer of next year, we start seeing some companies feeling more confident about coming back to travel. Basically, what we're seeing right now is almost all the travel that we're seeing, very little of it is business related. And typically, prior to the pandemic, GSP handled about 60% of our traffic was for business travel. So we really have friends and relatives visiting each other. We have leisure trips. And we have those who, quite frankly, can't be in their basement any longer and have to go somewhere and spread their wings, go hiking, go to the beach, go to somewhere else. And so while we see some inbound traffic here for people wanting to go up into the mountains and heading up into the Asheville area, those types of things, you know, we do see a lot of our folks heading out to places that are have reopened to at least some level, Florida, places like that. So that's been a big challenge for us because right now it's a lot of uncertainty from travelers, not so much on the safety side. There's a little bit of that And airports and aviation have done a lot of things to address that and reassure people that aviation is the safest industry in the air and on the ground. But it is the uncertainty of, are there travel restrictions? Are there quarantines? Is there anything to do when I do travel somewhere? Are the amusement parks open? You know, right. Are the companies that I want to meet with open? And in some cases,
is there any point in going there in the first place?
Yeah. And it's just kind of a week by week type of thing. And so people, you know, do I make the trip? Do I not make the trip? If I make the trip, will I have to be there for 14 days? Do I need a test beforehand? So all of those things don't lend themselves to a pretty vibrant air travel market. So we're hoping as we learn more, as we know more, as we get closer to a vaccine, that those concerns will go away and then we start seeing people come back to the airports in greater numbers.
What about you, Elliot? How did the pandemic affect CHS and its related airfields?
Unfortunately, very, very similarly. Now, we've seen kind of an uptick in our FBOs and our private planes, which is, you know, people trying to get down again to Isle of Palms, Wildin, Seabrook, Kiawa, and those sort of things. But certainly our air traffic has in the CHS and in our commercial airlines have been devastated. Same thing, down to 4% of what we normally do, so 96% down, which is an amazing thing for us because, you know, and I'm not sure how GSP does it, but a lot of airports around the country are either owned or supported by their municipality or county, and
right.
So they have access to property taxes and those sort of things. We do not, unfortunately. We are completely 100% fee-based airport, so we eat what we kill. And so, we've certainly been doing our best not to furlough folks, lay people off, which we haven't had to do. But it's been an interesting and scary time. I think probably the only thing we could probably relate it close to is 9/11, right?
Yeah.
What happened to the country after 9/11. And so certainly it's been difficult. But, you know, we've taken this opportunity. We grew exponentially year after year, you know, over the last few years. So this has been an opportunity really to say, okay, how did we do through our growth? What are the things that we did well? What are the things that we didn't do well? And how do we adjust? And we've also had some strategic partnerships to try to make sure we have the healthiest airport around. We've partnered with MUSC right off the rip to say that, you know, to do what they called a back to business plan,
mm-hmm.
which was looking at all of our workflows with all of our employees, all of our airline partners and TSA and say, okay, how do we make sure that we have the healthiest environment possible for our employees? Because we can't expect our passengers to have confidence if our employees don't.
Sure.
And so that was the first thing we did. We partnered with a company called Impact, which is from Fountain Inn, South Carolina. They make a foggable solution that coats air, you know, coats hard surfaces that disables the transportation of the COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't kill it, but it's almost like it punctures the tire on the vehicle. And so we spray our TSA area in our touch points every 20 days. It's good for 30 days. We spray all of our police cars with it. We actually had an officer go down with COVID. And our folks hot seat their cars. They share their vehicles. And
right.
the guys who used it both shifts afterwards did not have that issue, and did not come down with COVID-19. So we feel very well good that it works. And Boeing is who introduced us to that. Starting Monday, which I believe is the 22nd. I'm not looking at the calendar in front of me, but.
23rd,
Monday,
I think.
No, yeah, Monday the 22nd. We will be opening the fourth floor of our parking deck in a partnership with the Medical University of South Carolina to do COVID testing. 30% of our traffic comes from the Northeast, and specifically from New York. Governor Cuomo has finally reduced some of those restrictions for South Carolina. You have to have a negative COVID test 3 days before you enter the state of New York. And you have to have one as soon as you get there afterwards. So we're going to be offering COVID tests to all passengers who want to fly to the state of New York or anyone particularly in that manner. And we're going to open it up to our surrounding community as well. So those folks will be able to to get COVID testing there. So we're doing everything we can to make people happy and healthy to come to our airport.
Glad to hear it. Tom, what measures have you taken at GSP to make sure that both employees and visitors stay safe?
Yeah, well, we actually, you know, pretty early on, we saw that this was going to be probably with us a little longer than we had hoped. So we launched a program called Prepare for Takeoff. And so it was very much like Elliot had mentioned, first directed on our own employees and our tenants and our business partners to make sure that we were doing everything for them as they're in the building and we want to start there first. You know, good habits and hygiene and cleanliness in the terminal all starts there to make sure that everybody's taken care of. And then moving on to passengers as they were coming on. So we, of course, put in face mask requirements. We were already pretty heavy on hospital-grade cleaning in the airport. The restrooms and facilities are a particular point of attention with our airport commission. And so they we even increased that, more hand sanitizing stations. We do the same type of fogging of security checkpoint, gate areas, and we've done plexiglass shields at all high touch point areas. So that's ticket counters and TSA checkpoint, rental car facilities, everywhere in there. And so we unfortunately had to discontinue some of our parking shuttle operations because we just were trying to work through the social distancing on the confined spaces. But luckily, most of our parking that we kept open was within just adjacent to the building. So it wasn't something that was a big change. But as we have passengers come back, we will be having to work through that process to kind of just put things back to where they were. We were able to kind of, you know, slow down things. Now, some of the other areas we were working on, we were on a pretty significant growth curve, just like Charleston.
Yeah.
We're on our fifth year of double-digit growth here. And so we were building on to some of our infrastructure here to handle some of that growth. And so we were in the process of adding another 1,500 parking spaces, redoing some of our roadways around the facility so we don't have traffic so congested. We were rebuilding a new fire station, a larger fire station to replace one that was built in the 60s. And we were going to just about ready to pull the trigger on a new $75 million parking garage. So we held off on the parking garage, but we continued on with the parking expansion, the surface parking expansion, and the roadway work. So that is actually finishing up here by the end of the year. And so we will be set when traffic comes back, and we think that will at some point. But we were already moving ahead, so it kept some people working, and it was a good time when traffic was down to do these types of projects where you wouldn't have to do it under the pressure that we had before when we were really just filling every parking space all the time and really packed at the airport. So unfortunately, we had to do that, but it was a good time to do it while we had some time to take a breath.
Understand. Real quickly, because we're nearly out of time here, what kind of opportunities exist now that things are starting to pick back up? Do you have employment opportunities for people at your respective airports, Tom?
Yeah, well, we do actually, because during the time this happened, when passengers go down to only 4%, you know, the restaurants and the gift shops and other companies that operate within your shopping mall of an airport, they have a hard time keeping it together. And so we actually, in this process, lost the concessionaire that was running most of our restaurants. Mm. So we actually took that operation over as the airport district, and we are reopening those facilities. So later on in the week, we'll be opening up our Chick-fil-A in our Grand Hall. We've opened up a restaurant called Vino Volo. It's a wine bar, kind of gourmet meals. We'll be opening up our Wolfgang Puck and a couple of our brew pubs. But they're hiring folks because people have either been furloughed or laid off or the company changed over. So we're out on the street working with the management company that took this over and filling those positions. And you're also finding that with passenger traffic to Europe being halted still, or it's very slim in the number of flights that go over. A lot of cargo was normally being carried by those passenger airplanes in the belly of the passenger airplane. And with those flights not happening, that cargo still needs to get back and forth across the Atlantic or back and forth across the Pacific to keep factories running. So we're actually seeing a big uptick in all cargo activities. And so we're actually finding that we're hiring for positions to help support ground operations for some of our cargo operators. And for ourselves, we actually run our own cargo operation. And so there's a lot of hiring there that we probably wouldn't normally have done, but because the pandemic has created an opportunity where companies need to have those boxes shipped, we're filling that void, and it's creating some job opportunities.
Well, and I want to make sure that we get to Elliot with the same question. Elliot, what career opportunities exist at CHS?
Well, certainly right now we're not quite in that position that GSP's in, because we don't have the robust cargo opportunities that they have, but we are, certainly our restaurants are starting to come back and those sort of things, and they're having to rehire some folks, and we're always looking to bring in new expertise and A-plus players who can help us create such a great environment that we have here at Charleston International. We're very fortunate. I mean, while we're not hiring directly, we were able to help Boeing make a decision here a month ago or so to be the exclusive home of the 787 here at Charleston International Airport. And we expect, once the vaccine gets going and people start flying again, that the airlines will start taking receivership of those beautiful 787s, and they're going to expand their employment opportunities here at Boeing as well. Again, we want to be an incubator for economic development. And very similar to what GSP has done so successfully for the last few decades. And that's the direction we're heading in, for sure.
And I should mention the websites of your respective airports. GSPairport.com is where you can find more information about the Greenville-Spartanburg International Airport. And then iFlyCHS.com is the one for Charleston International. Elliot Summey, the CEO of Charleston International Airport, and Tom Tyre, the Director of Communications and Air Service Development at Greenville-Spartanburg International, have been my guests today. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being here today.
Thank you.
It's been my pleasure. I'm Chris Evans, and this has been Focus on the Upstate.
You've been listening to Focus on the Upstate with Chris Evans. If you would like more information on today's topic, email Chris at cevans@intercom.com.